Flying Jot is wild. I was just thinking about how they just threw all that pollution into space.
They did, yeah.
Like, now you're just polluting space.
That's space's problem now.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and prancing and Bollywood boys.
Bollywood boys who love their brothers more than
so much.
More than themselves.
Yeah, to, again, an unhealthy level, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe a little less than previously seen films, but absolutely, certainly unhealthy in the sense of dying. But not, you know, it's fine. Hi, it's Boggy 3. Welcome.
Welcome to this wild, wild ride. Now, I will confess that I feel like we really took a stance at the end of last week's episode when we were talking about Boggy 3 and how it should absolutely be rated higher than Circus. We took a very firm stance. And I don't think we were wrong.
Yeah.
However, I will confess that I forgot about a few things that happened in Boggy 3. Where I was laughing when I shouldn't have been laughing, maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to talk about it.
I look forward to unpacking that further. You know, for me, it's like, if I were told you need to watch either Boggy 3 or Circus, I would pick Boggy 3, and I still
Absolutely.
Stand behind that. But I just hope no one asks me to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, you know, something in my gut told me, Katie, just rent it. Don't spend the $10 to buy it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Spend like $4 to rent it. And I was like, okay. And then I watched it and I was like, yeah. Yeah.
Good choice.
I'm glad I saved it.
Good financial decision. I was trying to remember, did we watch this for the first time together? Or had you already seen it?
We definitely did.
Okay.
I can't imagine that I would have
watched it and then wanted to watch it with me.
Yeah, because I do remember distinctly us together watching the end of it and our reactions. And I'm sure that we will relive those reactions together
here today
at the end of the recap. Yeah.
Because I was remembering how we shared a Hotstar subscription.
Yes.
That we, I think, got just so we could watch Boggy 3.
That
and maybe
right
one other movie, and then we accidentally paid for it for an extra year. So it probably cost us like $50 to watch Boggy 3 the first time. So that was not a wise financial decision.
No, I will say, I did watch one other film while we had Hotstar. I watched whatever the Blood Bank
movie with Ron D. Puda. Yeah. I think I watched a couple before Hotstar became Disney Plus Hotstar and then
we
also became a part of Hulu. So now a lot of the things that were on Hotstar you can watch on Hulu.
Yes.
Like Bang Bang.
Like Bang Bang.
That was definitely, I think that was what made it worth it for us. We were like, Boggy 3 is on here and so is Bang Bang. So let's
Yeah, I will pay $50 to watch Bang Bang. Yeah.
I will too, even though you own the DVD.
And I own it on DVD. But again, I do think that DVD was pirated. So.
Support the artists.
Yes.
Anyway, Boggy 3.
Yes, it was directed by Ahmed Khan, and it stars our boy, Tiger Shroff, as Ronnie. Ronnie! Always.
Kali.
So dramatic. Kali! Yeah, I mean, Kim, you get into trouble. Who are you shouting for? Are you shouting for Ronnie or are you shouting for Kali?
Kali, every time.
Oh, me too. Me too. So, there we go.
Yeah. Done. Decision made.
Yep. Ronnie likes to think he could take Kali, but nah.
No.
Nah.
I'd watch that movie.
Me too. It's like Superman, Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
That's the term.
Their moms have the same name. They're just like, oh, we can relate.
Yes. Anywho, so, yep, Tiger Shroff.
Yep.
And then we have Ritesh Deshmukh, who plays Vikram. Shraddha Kapoor looking gorgeous, being her amazing sassy self. Love her. Playing Sia. Yeah, so that's our crew. Do we want to just get into it?
I'm ready.
All right. Boggy 3. A Hero's Journey. We open in Syria, and we hear the Boggy theme song playing in the background. The Get Ready to Fight. But it's like a remix.
Yeah.
Bah, 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 bah. Now, I do have like a visceral reaction to that song, which I'm very happy about. Yeah. So, good for you. Know, you. I'll never feel bad about that.
I liked the remix, too. I thought this was a...
Yeah, it was a good one.
A good rendition.
But we see Ronnie, our hero, limp onto the scene and find a body lying on the ground. And he runs over to it, yelling, Vikram, no! There is so much dramatic yelling in this movie.
So much.
I'm not an actor. But not all of it seems like the highest quality of acting.
I would agree with that. And also, poor Tiger's throat again must have been very scratchy.
Yeah. Gosh, all these people probably had to just drink a lot of tea. A
lot of tea.
But anyway, but this body doesn't move as he's screaming, Vikram, no! And he shakes it, saying, you can't die like this! And then we see a flashback that says 15 years earlier in Old Delhi. And we see some kids flying kites when one kid starts beating up, like, a child Vikram. But then Vikram calls for his brother, Ronnie, and his younger brother appears. And everyone thinks this is hilarious because Ronnie is smaller than Vikram. Until Ronnie ominously says, when it's about me, I keep calm. But when it's about my brother, I cause harm.
Yeah.
Because Tiger always needs a catchphrase.
And when it rhymes, it's even better.
Yes, exactly. Then little Ronnie does a spin kick and starts going to town on these kids as Vikram just, like, stands to the side and watches, which is also a common theme. But then their father appears, played by Jackie Shroff. I just call him Papa because
your father
that's what we do. Yes. Yep. And Papa beats Ronnie for getting into fights.
Yeah, this was a lot.
It was a lot. Like, that didn't feel great. And Vikram's, like, apologizing to Ronnie. And Ronnie's like, oh, he wasn't beating me. He was just dusting off my clothes.
I don't understand. I thought that, like, Dad was going to be a villain because of this. I was like, oh, yeah. Dad's a bad guy because he's beating his son.
It's casual.
Yeah.
But the next day, the boys are at school when their dad's coworker, and Papa's a police officer, so his coworker's also a police officer. But anyway, the coworker comes to get them, and he tells them that their father showed up alone to break up a gang fight, and he saved a bunch of civilians, but was shot and is now dying.
Yeah.
Also, like, don't show up to a gang fight by yourself without any weapons or without any backup. Like,
yeah,
should not idolize this.
No, he did save a lot of people, and, like, maybe if he hadn't run into the fray, they would have died or something.
That's a good point. All right.
Maybe he sacrificed himself more than just was stupid.
I think that's true. But the boys go to see their dying Papa, and Papa's dying wish, which we all know it's totally great to give your young child the burden of a dying wish.
Totally normal, yeah. Very healthy.
But anyway, Papa's dying wish is that Ronnie stay by Vikram's side always and protect him. And Ronnie promises. And then Papa dies. That's very intense.
Yeah, it is intense. I did want to say how nice Jackie Shroff's forearms are.
I mean, look, Jackie Shroff's a good-looking man.
He is.
In general. And he's, like, a fit man. So. Yeah. You know, you look at the future of what Tiger Shroff will look like because they look exactly the same.
Yeah, and you're not disappointed.
Yeah. Future looks bright. We then see a montage of Ronnie comforting Vikram and making sure he eats and playing with him. And this is when I wanted to just check in with you, Kim, to ask you if you think that we should watch the original Judwa.
No.
With Salman Khan. I know, it's like, okay, because we know how we feel about Salman Khan, and I was like, well, maybe, and I know I couldn't get through Judwa 2 for reasons that are abundantly clear, just in the small scene that you see. in this movie. But I don't know. You know, we love a doubles trope.
I mean, it seems like the same joke was being made in the Salman Khan movie. There's so much that we know we will like that we want to watch.
That's a good point. All right, that's fair. That's fair.
But I did enjoy this this Judwa-based transition.
Yes. It
was very, very fun crafting.
Yes, because we go from these boys being young and watching the original Judwa to now being all grown up and at the cinema watching Judwa 2. And for no apparent reason, Vikram is crying. And it's like a funny moment. Like, I'm all for being sensitive, but Vikram literally, like, he needs to be a fully grown person. And he's not.
It's the brotherly love. It's
sorry, Vikram. Yeah, I guess. But I love it because you'd see a muscular arm reach over and wipe Vikram's face for him. But then in the cinema lobby, Sia is buying food from the concession stand when she sees Vikram crying because it's intermission, so everyone is gathering. And she tells him there's no reason to cry because films are so far from reality. Like, in real life, heroes don't enter a scene in slow motion and then beat up dozens of guys single-handedly.
Definitely not.
Never. And at this moment, Vikram runs into a gang of macho guys, and the main guy gets very upset, and he shoves Vikram, and Vikram shouts, "Ronnie!"
Just like that, very operatic.
Ronnie!
Yoo-hoo!
That's funny. Over here, big sum of blood! But from the movie theater, Ronnie hears him, and he takes off, slow motion running, biceps fully flexed, and he slides into the lobby in front of his brother. And I want to take a moment to say, I love this length of hair on him.
Yes.
Like, this haircut is really good. His, like, level of scruff, also really good.
I agree with this. I think he looks great in this movie. I also wanted to share with you that I referred to his facial expression as Tiger's danger smolder.
That's so true.
TM.
Yes. I do think this is the hottest I've ever seen him.
I think, this is pretty peak right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 out of 10, Tiger. I know you're listening to us, so now you know.
We know he's one of our biggest fans.
So Ronnie decides to do the mature thing and not fight, and he starts walking away with Vikram, telling him to be more careful when he sees that Vikram is bleeding. And then all hell breaks loose. Mm-hmm. And Vikram's like, no, it's fine. Like, you don't have to fight them. But I'm like, Vikram, don't call your brother if you don't want him to fight. Because you know
what's going to happen.
Yeah. And sure enough, Ronnie knocks a bunch of teeth out of one guy's face and then delivers his catchphrase. And then he fights the whole gang with a lot of fancy kicky moves. And at one point, he tosses a guy, like, up into the air, into a chandelier, which is also happens again and again in this movie. He just, like, tosses things and people just up.
Just up.
Yep. And then it's looking like Ronnie wants to snap a guy's back in half. But Vikram begs him to stop and not murder this guy in a cinema lobby. And he does stop. Back home, which is Agra, they live in Agra. And Ronnie is an unemployed handsome guy because he's gotten into too many fights to get a job. So his main thing is that he hangs out, he works out, which I actually do appreciate that we see he has, like, a whole home gym, because there's nothing that I hate more than when people are just super jacked for no reason.
Jacked for no reason, yeah.
Because that's not how real life is.
With no explanation, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just naturally like this, like Captain
and I'm
Hammer.
Like, shut up. Stop. No. You're working out hours a day. We all know this.
Yeah.
Anyway, their foster dad has a police job lined up for Vikram, and Ronnie encourages him to do it, and he even drives him to work in his sidecar on his motorcycle, which is very cute. And Vikram realizes that his uniform gives him power. Yay! And he's very excited about that. So he goes into work and then happens to meet the same police officer from Boggy 2. I think he might even have the same name. I don't remember his name from Boggy 2, but
I totally didn't recognize that it was the same guy. I just got excited about Bosco.
Right. Bosco's there and this other guy.
Cool.
Yeah.
They got transferred.
Yes. From Goa. Yeah. From Goa. Yes. I'm always so interested in, like, the parallel universes of the Boggies.
I know. I was trying to think about how they could all be connected.
Yeah.
Like, how could the Ronnie, like, go through all the same situations? But then I got bored. Yeah, and I thought about something else instead.
Outside the police station, a man is set on fire by a gang, and the gang boss waltzes in to intimidate the police into letting go of the guy who did the burning. And Vikram's really upset that these guys were literally able to get away with murder, like, on the front steps of the police station.
Yeah.
And this is when he learns that his boss's daughter was run over and killed by the same gang, and even as a police officer, his boss was never able to prove anything.
So tragic.
Meanwhile, the Agra gang boss, that's how I refer to him as, I think his name's IPL, but who cares, gets orders from higher up that he needs to kidnap a bunch of families from cities across India. But what happens to the families? Well, now we're back in Syria, where we meet Abu Jalal, who is the leader of a terrorist organization and whose only goal is to spread terrorism. It's a very general goal. I do feel like even terrorists have a more specific mission, but...
Right, they're not... It's not just about the terror.
Yeah. Yep. But we see him threaten the children of the families he takes so that the fathers will work for him, and he then turns the fathers into suicide bombers, and that's why he's kidnapping whole families.
Real dark.
It is really dark, yeah. Dark in a different way from Boggy 2.
Yeah.
And not... as well crafted.
Right, because the whole movie's not that dark, no, you know? So it's like this super dark stuff in the middle of this, like, action comedy.
Yeah, it's fascinating. But back in Agra, Sia is reprimanding her sister for turning down yet another marriage proposal. And after she drops her sister off at work/school, unknown, Sia wanders into the middle of the street looking for a cell signal. Mm-hmm. A busy, busy, like, 4-lane street. Yep. And Ronnie rides his motorbike by at this time and is so distracted by how beautiful she is that he runs into her scooter, which is parked by the side of the road. And her sister starts yelling at him, but he insults her and then rides away. We then see Sia at the police station setting a match on fire and dropping it into Kute's front pocket because if you want the police to do anything, you have to warm their pockets. And I was like, I love her.
That is funny. I also feel like, couldn't you be arrested for trying to set like a cup on fire?
Yeah, for assaulting a police officer? Yeah. But I don't think anyone really likes Kute, so it's fine.
It's fine, yeah.
And Sia's friend is there too, and she explains that she saw some families being taken hostage inside a warehouse, which is like, what a thing to see, just stumble upon. Yeah. And the police won't do anything about it. And so Sia threatens to put Kute on social media if he doesn't lodge a complaint. Then Kute goes back to the other officers and asks them what they should do, and they say he should pass it off to a scapegoat, Vikram. Mm-hmm. So Vikram waltzes into this den of bad guys by himself and sees all the hostages tied up and blindfolded. But he's not alone because Ronnie's here too. Mm-hmm. And Ronnie's like super chill about this whole situation. He is extremely confident, and we will find out for good reason.
Yeah. This fight did have a good energy to it. I liked that.
And Ronnie gives Vikram the job of just flipping the lights on and off whenever he whistles. And he then flips his hood up, and then Ronnie whistles for the lights to turn off. And he beats up all of these dudes with a lead pipe, and Vikram's having a great time turning the lights on and off as his brother's doing all the work.
And I also just thought of a joke that his pipe work is second to none.
Yes.
Really knows his way around a pipe.
Yes, he does. There's a lot of pipe fighting in this movie.
Yeah, there is.
There's also a moment where Ronnie punches one guy and somehow knocks out 6 other guys with that one punch. And he then tells Vikram, lights full off, action full on. And it's like, this is so cheesy, and I love every second of it.
Yeah.
And then there's a 45-second countdown as he beats up everyone still standing, using a sledgehammer at times, which, ow, that'll kill you.
That'll kill you, yeah.
And he also just picks up and throws a guy into the air with one hand.
Yeah.
So
that's his move, this movie.
Yeah, I feel like that's what we should be keeping track of in this one. Like, how many things and people just get just sent up them. Into space?
Never to be seen again.
Yeah. I know, I was like, don't know where that guy went. Vikram's a hero now, which is great. And then Ronnie tells Vikram that it's time for him to get married. And Vikram agrees, but he says that Ronnie has to pick his bride, because God forbid Vikram do anything for himself. We then see Sia all excited because her friend has a potential husband for her sister. And Sia goes in her sister's place to check out this guy, only to find Ronnie. And both of them are disappointed because they think the other one is going to marry their sibling. But they're both into each other. But then the confusion's cleared up and they're both really happy and it's cute because, yeah, they both have crushes. And then Ronnie realizes that Sia's sister is the woman who he fought with after hitting her scooter. Oh no, conflict! But both Sia and Ronnie try to convince their siblings to follow through on the wedding, and they succeed. So, yay!
Hey,
the wedding happened!
Solved! Done!
We then get our first dance number, yeah. Bacchus. And Sia's outfit is amazing.
So good. Like, I love her outfit.
Like the mint green with the hot pink sneakers.
It's so cute. And so like the cute. Floral.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. It's like classy and street and like yes. edgy and bright. And I love it.
I love it. She looks great. And like this has all of the best cute moments. Like she slaps Ronnie's butt. And then yeah. there's a moment where Ronnie kisses her cheek and walks away as she stands in shock. And then he winks. Yeah. That's yeah. what I have. You gave me that gift. I think did. You also gave me the butt yeah. slapping gift, too.
That one I don't think I saved if I did make that. Mm. This is definitely my favorite dance number.
It is also my favorite, hands
it's
down.
A fun song. Also, I really like Ronnie's outfit, like the yeah. vest over the short sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of casual and cool.
But you gotta have his biceps out.
Well, yeah, that's true. If he didn't, they'd just burst out of his shirt.
Exactly.
He can't stop himself from flexing.
I don't know how he wears clothes anymore.
Nah, he just bursts out of them. He's got to have a special made or they're all stretchy like a superhero.
I was just thinking, like, it's been a while since I've actually, like, looked at Tiger's posts on Instagram, but I'm wondering if he's still posting, like, he wears really, really tight, like, swim shorts. I call them shorts. They're not really swim trunks. They're shorts.
Short swim undies.
It's like...
But not a Speedo.
It's almost like... He wants to wear Jim's little white swim shorts.
I was going to say, yeah, like Jim and Patan.
Patan, but he's not there yet. But also, Sib, I feel like if you had to smack Tiger on the butt, your hand would hurt.
Probably. I bet it's real solid.
Yeah.
It's like smacking a rock.
I just realized that I didn't have any Tiger booty watch.
Oh, no. Well,
I feel like I failed us all.
Well, you were still thinking about Ranbir Kapoor's butt.
Oh God, it was so good. It was God.
It's a good butt. What can we say?
Anyway, okay. The local gang is on to Vikram, and they try to figure out a way to stop him because he's raiding all their warehouses and saving all their hostages, and they can't have that.
Such a problem.
Yes, and they learn that he has a quote unquote little brother. So they decide to target Ronnie, who looks innocent, they say.
Based on what?
I know, right? His little face, I guess?
This man is large. He's large.
They haven't seen his danger smolder. And as they're following him one day, they see Ronnie pick up a puppy off the road. And then he actually waves them down in their car to catch a ride to the vet clinic.
It's so funny.
Yeah,
I don't know why ridiculous. It's hitting me really hard at this moment how ridiculous this is.
Well, it's also like that puppy was fine. It wasn't hurt. It was just like
it really looked
a puppy.
Fine. Really cute little puppy, too.
Yeah. And these guys can't believe their luck. And so they're like, wow, he must be a sensitive kid. This will be easy. I'm like, yeah. Do you see the muscle mass on this
People
man?
People can be sensitive and strong. Those are not mutually exclusive.
Yes. And they take him to a junkyard where the gang boss is waiting for him. And the goons that he beat up at the cinema are there and they recognize him. But the gang boss won't let them talk to warn him. The boss calls Vikram and tells him to turn over the families or show up at the junkyard himself to rescue his innocent little brother. And Vikram's just like, who are they talking about?
I don't have one of those.
Yeah. And also, is he supposed to re-kidnap all the families who have returned to their lives? You know?
Sorry, I need to bring you back so I can save my brother.
Oh, man. And the gang tries to cut Ronnie's thumb off, and hijinks ensue, where he, like, drags 10 dudes back with him and, you know, whatever, all this stuff.
Is this where he knocks over all the cars?
Yes.
Because why were all those cars stacked like that in this
junkyard? I don't know. And, like, what force do you have to knock over a tower full of cars?
Yeah, I mean, it did look like a fairly precarious
tower. Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Like,
yeah.
Six cars high.
Well, and also, I guess this movie would make a lot more sense if Ronnie had, like, Krish abilities, you know? Like, if
sure,
he had just a little bit of magic, a little bit of space
just a
magic.
A little bit of Jadu.
Jadu. We get a little taste of Jadu.
We do get a little taste of Jadu.
That sounded creepy. I didn't mean it that way.
A taste of his theme song.
Yes. Anyway, Ronnie gets free and starts beating up all these dudes, and Vikram arrives once all the guys are down, and later he ends up intentionally arresting Ronnie so that he gets handcuffed to the right-hand gang guy. Mm-hmm. And this was all a setup so that Vikram's boss could shoot the guy who murdered his daughter, and he does. And that guy falls down dead as Ronnie looks on approvingly, not seeming to care that he very easily could have been shot himself.
Yep. Yeah. It's a weird plan.
He seems to be impervious to bullets, so.
More on that later, too.
Yes. Back home, Vikram tells Ronnie that one day this job will get him killed, just like it did their father. But Ronnie says he'll always be there. After all, if bad guys can have henchmen, why can't policemen?
That's a good point.
And there's then a montage of Ronnie foiling various bad guy plans and Vikram getting the credit for it. And we also see, like, just scenes of familial bliss and Sia and Ronnie having their own little kind of blossoming love story.
Yes.
And Vikram ends up getting promoted.
Yay.
At the Ministry of External Affairs, Vikram is told that they're sending him to Syria to take care of the paperwork for the extradition of the Agra gang boss who is helping Abu Jalal. Run-of-the-mill routine work trip.
Sure.
Yeah. The family drops Vikram off at the airport, and it's at this time that Vikram's wife tells him she's pregnant.
It'd be such a crazy time to actually tell your partner that you're pregnant as they're, like, getting on a plane.
Yeah. I've been waiting for the right time, and it's now.
It's now that you're leaving.
It's a weird, yeah, it's a weird choice. It only makes sense if you think that he might die.
Yeah.
Which, you know, maybe she had a premonition.
Maybe.
At the hotel in Syria, Vikram video calls Ronnie to check in, and as they're talking, the doorbell rings, and Vikram goes to answer it, thinking that it's his police backup. But it is not. They're two goons. And they beat up Vikram as Ronnie watches and yells a whole lot.
Lots of shrieking.
Lots of, so much shrieking. And it's just like, they're not paying attention to you.
No.
And the goons drag an unconscious Vikram out of the room. And then one of the goons picks up the phone. And Ronnie says that if anything happens to his brother, he'll kill them. And the goon responds, it's not just two of us. It's not even hundreds. It's not even thousands. We're a whole country. And Ronnie swears on his father that he'll wipe their whole country off the face of the earth. I did laugh at this.
It is very ridiculous. And also, like, that country is Syria, right? Yeah. Like, that...
Yeah.
And what I just find funny about that is I think in my mind I had, like, forgotten that it was an actual place.
Yeah, not a fake and place.
I was like, it was a fake country that he just, like, eliminated. But no, it's Syria. It's a real place that still is.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
It's not been pushed into space.
He just throws the whole country up.
That's what Foggy 4 is about. He just chucks all the people up into space.
I mean, I'm
space.
Telling you, he's definitely going to fight some people on the moon. Bring it on.
Well, but then that's just flying jet. We got to do something.
Oh, yeah. New. I guess that's true. Yeah. But in a space suit.
We'll find out.
And now we're back from intermission, and in Syria, we see Abu Jalal kill a different police officer, not Vikram, in front of all of his followers and fellow terrorists, and then dramatically announce, "No one can stop me." It's all very dramatic. I love it.
Yeah, and also it's a stupid thing to say, because you know you're going to jinx yourself.
It is! Someone should have told him. Because then we see Ronnie and Sia arrive at the airport in Syria. And they head straight to police headquarters to follow through with Vikram's mission. And Ronnie reveals that Vikram was sent after a guy working with Abu Jalal, and that name catches the attention of multiple Syrian police officers.
Mm-hmm.
The officer they're talking to, his name is Bilal, says he has a protocol to follow, and Ronnie had better not make any nuisance in his city, or he'll be in big trouble. Now, I couldn't help but notice that Bilal is also a very handsome man.
He is handsome.
Yeah. Very handsome. Very large arms. He looks good in his uniform. Needed to note that.
Way to go, Bilal.
Way to be.
Looking good.
And so Sia and Ronnie leave the police station, wondering how they're going to find Vikram, when a guy loitering outside tells them he is Pakistani, his name is Akhtar, and he can help them find Vikram.
So, I wrote that this guy is an LSD wannabe.
I know, because he shows up and it's like, you wish it was LSD.
Right, because he's kind of trying to do the, like, cool guy thing.
Yeah.
But failing.
And, like, he's fine, but, like, if we brought back all the other ones, let's just bring back LSD.
Rondi Puda was unavailable.
Give me more Rondi Puda. That's all I want in life.
Always.
But yeah, so they follow Akhtar to an abandoned area where he then, of course, turns on them and tries to rob them as all these other guys emerge from where they were hiding. It's an ambush. But then a bird flies at his face.
This bird who must have been in Ronnie's employ.
Yeah, like just as Akhtar is saying, like, the birds around here don't even flap their wings without my say-so. A bird flies at his face. And it distracts him enough that he doesn't notice Ronnie beat up all of his men in literally, like, 15 seconds.
Just the flapping of a bird's wings.
Yes. Yeah, and I was like, I feel like this is just lazy, like, script writing. You just don't want to choreograph another fight. I see you. But Akhtar then tells them he doesn't actually know anything about Vikram, but he's connected to all the thieves and pickpockets in the city, so maybe he can help them in some other way. And Ronnie then remembers that Vikram said that his wallet was stolen as he walked into the hotel, and so Akhtar is able to connect Ronnie with the pickpocket who stole it. Ronnie confirms that it is Vikram's wallet, because Vikram weirdly has a photo of himself in his wallet. I really thought he was going to pull out a photo of, like, him and Vikram, or his wife. No.
It's just a picture of him. I mean, it's not like his ID or anything. No. It's just like a loose, very small picture.
You know, because we all carry photos of ourselves around in our wallets.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just in case it gets stolen and our siblings have to identify that it's ours. So Ronnie and Sia go to the hotel with Akhtar, and they figure out which room Vikram was staying in. They get in there, and they find Vikram's phone. And Akhtar takes it to get the fingerprints of the goon, because he has his own methods to get that without the police. And I was like, wait, he's turning out to be super useful.
Very helpful, yeah.
And, like, he approached them. This is so convenient. Big video game energy.
Yeah. He's, big NPC.
He's got, like, a floating exclamation point above his head. It's like, you gotta interact with him or you can't continue this story. Yes, so Ronnie, Sia, and Akhtar leave the hotel as the cops enter, looking for them. And Akhtar's guy is able to hack into the police fingerprint database and get the photo of the guy who beat up Vikram.
So they're going around asking the locals who this guy is when a bunch of teens start whistling and call the very guy that they're searching for.
Yeah.
And Ronnie gets into a fight with this guy, and they do some running, and Ronnie does some parkour, and the goon eventually gets tired, and he's like, stop. Like, just stop, so that he can have a cigarette. And Ronnie gets on his knees and just, like, cries and pleads for this guy to tell him where Vikram is. And the guy agrees to tell him, but he's also kind of terrified of Ronnie, so he keeps backing up. And then, before he can say where Vikram is, all he says is, he's at the place. Your brother's at the place.
He's right there at the place.
Which is like, you have to try to be that weird and vague.
You had enough time to say where he was.
Yeah.
Why did you say what you said?
I don't know. But then he backs up into the road and gets hit by a truck.
Bye.
But now we come full circle to where we started the film, and we realize that this dead guy isn't Vikram after all.
Yay.
Then we see where Vikram really is, which is tied up at a big hangar slash compound where the bad guys are keeping all the kidnapped Indian families. And it turns out that their family friends are here, like the ones who introduced Vikram to Sia's sister.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did you guys not know that they were missing? Until you ran into them here.
That's such a good question.
Like, they seemed to be close friends, at least with Sia. You'd think Sia would be like, that's weird. I haven't heard from
them. We haven't seen you guys since the wedding.
Yeah. But anyway, whatever. Back to Ronnie. He suddenly realizes that the dead guy lit his cigarette with the same box of matches Ronnie had previously seen the Agra gang boss use. Turns out that they're matches from a club called the Taj Mahal. And Sia uses the dead guy's phone to contact the Agra gang boss to get him to meet them at the club.
Yes.
Then we get Do You Love Me, our sultry second dance number. And it stars Disha Patani, who
it does.
Looks amazing, as
she
always.
She does look incredible. I wrote, because there aren't any subtitles in the YouTube movie for the song, I was like, I'm pretty sure that what she must be singing is, we haven't seen each other for 4 years, and also also we have a daughter.
Also, she's been kidnapped and everyone's gaslighting me. Help?
Yeah. That's what the song is about.
I like that. As this club dance is happening, we see the cops rallying their forces to prepare for something big happening tomorrow. And the cops let us know that the dead guy is actually Abu Jalal's brother. And they know that the people who texted the gang boss are the murderers of that guy.
Yeah.
And Abu Jalal warns the gang boss of this, because he's at the club too. Like, they're all at the club.
Yeah.
They're all in the club.
You know.
Der club. But so Abu Jalal then goes to leave because he knows the police are coming. Then Bilal arrives with some other cops, and he reveals he's been a good cop this whole time.
What?
Because we were not sure. Because you can't trust hot cops.
You really can't. And not right away.
Not right away.
Suspicious. When you're that hot, you're also a cop. What are you doing? That's so rude to police officers. I apologize.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you for your service. Oh, it's good. And yes, Bilal is here to get Abu Jalal. But obviously, Abu Jalal is not at the club anymore because he's jumped into a dumpster outside to make himself look like a beggar. And with this disguise, he's able to get past Bilal, which I'm like, Bilal, you seem smarter than this.
I know.
What are you doing?
I was like, this person looks so obvious. He looks like a Dementor, just like, just coming at you.
But everyone's like, ugh, he smells. Get him away. Yeah. That goes to show our biases get in our way.
This is true of our success and everyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
And the Agra gang boss, who is now in the custody of Bilal, says that they'll never be able to find Abu Jalal because he is like a shadow or something. I forget exactly what he says. He's a Dementor. That's why you'll never find him. He's too busy kissing souls.
Suck it out, souls.
Through your mouth. So, yes, the cops take the Agra gang boss into custody, and Abu Jalal's guys follow them in their police van, where they've got the whole gang is in here, but not like capital G gang, like our friendly fun gang.
The whole crew.
Yes, the crew that we're rooting for. And Ronnie gets his group to stop at a tea shop, and while they're seated around a table, he hands a bundle of money to the gang boss. And Abu Jalal's guys see this and assume that he's betrayed them. So the second that Ronnie and everyone else leaves the gang boss on his own, Abu Jalal's guys open fire on him, and he miraculously does not get shot because everyone is a bad shot in this movie.
Yeah.
And so the gang boss now doesn't have a choice but to go back to the protection of the police. So he runs after the van, they pull him inside, and he then tells Ronnie that Abu Jalal does have Vikram, and he's currently alive. And he also tells them that the next suicide bombing will take place at the embassy. So Bilal goes to stop the next attack, and Sia goes with him because she will recognize their family friend who's doing the attack. And then this leaves Ronnie to go to the compound alone. Mm-hmm. Ronnie then wastes absolutely zero time in stealing some grenades very casually from behind the backs of two bad guys and blowing up the first checkpoint of the compound, thereby attracting the attention of all of the guys in it. Mm-hmm. Once everything is on fire, he starts fighting and he knocks out like 30 dudes. And as Ronnie advances forward, Abu Jalal is told that their checkpoint got blown up, but no one knows who the attackers are.
Could only be multiple. Yeah,
it has to be. And he's like, it must be a rival intelligence agency or like super spies. Nope, it's just a random unemployed handsome man from Agra. Yeah.
Just a really buff guy.
Yeah, it's not even clear, like, he, like, yeah, whatever, like, where did he learn how to fight so well?
Never explained.
But I do love it, so whatever. Ronnie then just, like, enters this giant field and confronts this long line of trucks carrying hostages and lots of bad guys with machine guns. And he waves them forward, and the first truck tries to run him over, only to hit a tripwire that makes it explode and sends it flying up into space. So that truck's there now. That's in orbit. He then dodges a bunch of bullets to knock out all the bad guys with guns, and there's more explosions, and it's just absolutely bonkers.
It's just chaos.
Yeah. And Ronnie opens the back of one of the trucks to reveal some hostages, but Vikram is not among them. Back at the embassy, Sia finally finds her friend, and the police are able to save his wife and son from Abu Jalal's guys, and so the bomb does not go off. Attack averted. Yay!
Yay!
And there was much rejoicing.
Yay!
At the field, Oktar and the Agra gang boss are guiding the hostages to safety because Ronnie's, like, left them. He's like, you save these people. I'm going to go after my brother. And then a child steps on a landmine in the middle of, like, 20 other landmines. And I'm like, how did this one kid end up here? Whatever. It's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
But the gang boss is able to switch places with her, thereby sacrificing himself.
Yes.
And this is where we get the jadu.
Yeah.
Which I like. I like that we know
it
that.
I like that we know the reference, and it's a sweet moment where a villain redeems himself in a small way.
Exactly. Redemption arcs are always good. And he is able to take some bad guys with him, so.
Yes, that's also good. True.
So Abu Jalal learns that the embassy attack didn't happen, so he orders that the helicopters be brought out. Meanwhile, Ronnie's blowing up another convoy, but he catches on fire just a little bit in the process, so he has to tear his shirt off. Of course.
Yeah, I really like that this was him taking his own shirt off.
Yeah, we're going back to the OG here, because he also tore his own shirt off in the first one. I was a little bit disappointed. I kind of wanted it to, like, it could have burned off a la Patan, you know, or no,
that's
not
true.
Not Patan, Jawan.
A la Happy New Year, in Happy New Year, when that happens.
Oh, yes. That's perfect, because that is his shirt, and it burns off. Yes.
Yeah.
Under the heat of Mohini's gaze.
Yes.
What if people's, like, sexual attraction was enough to burn off? That'd be a crazy world.
What if that was, like, your superpower? Like, you woke up one day and And totally, like, unintentionally, you were just like, I have a crush on that person. They're really attractive. Oh, no! I burned their clothes off with my mind.
But it's also, like, PG. Like, everyone gets to keep their underpants.
Everyone keeps their underpants. Underclothes. Yeah, their underpants are flame.
Their underclothes stay on. Yeah.
Weird. That would be very strange.
But, yeah. So Ronnie tears his shirt off with his own two hands. And that is when the two make that three helicopters arrive.
Yep.
And he takes out two machine guns and shoots at them, but they don't do anything. So then he takes off running. And the helicopters fire at him, and he literally outruns, like, many, many explosions. And then somehow circles back around to jump onto one of the helicopters. Ronnie's able to jump over slash between the helicopter blades to safety as the helicopter starts to go down and then crashes in the middle of the compound. And somehow the other two helicopters go down too. Honestly, I didn't see how or why.
I didn't either. That's taken care of.
They make a pile of three helicopters in the middle of the compound square. Great. Those are done. They lasted, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, if that.
Yes. Abu Jalal is then informed that the helicopters are down, and this isn't a whole army. It's just one guy looking for Vikram. And he tries to figure out which of the hostages is Vikram, but for now, he's unsuccessful. And back to the fighting. Ronnie's being shot at by, like, 15 guys, but they're all really bad shots, and they're not aiming for his legs, and he's behind a helicopter door, so he's completely unharmed.
It's like, why aren't they shooting at his legs, slash, why aren't they, like, trying to get around him?
he's
just holding the door.
So stupid.
Very stupid.
Then they run out of bullets, which maybe y'all should have been smarter.
That's, like, the whole... Yes. All of the villains in this movie, just maybe you all should have been smarter.
Then maybe you would have got him. I don't know.
Work smarter, not harder, guys.
Exactly. And so then we get a lot of fancy kicking moves and neck breaking. But then once all those guys are down, a tank arrives.
Of course it does.
Yeah. And somehow Sia, Malal, and Akhtar are all here too. I guess Akhtar safely escorted the hostages somewhere in this time and has returned to the fight. And now there are like four or five tanks, and they've blocked Ronnie and Sia in. And don't wonder where Akhtar and Bilal went. We will not see them again this rest of this movie. So hope they're not
dead. They're done. That's a wrap on...
Yep. Then one tank gets stuck because rather than shoot at Ronnie as he's running away from it in a straight line, it decides to just try to run through an entire building to try to crush him.
Sure.
And then another tank runs into the helicopter pile and everything explodes some more.
Yep.
And I was like, none of this tank stuff makes any sense.
No, why do we have the tanks?
Because it's absurd. Meanwhile, Abu Jalal kills one of the hostages, and Vikram reveals himself, not wanting any more death. And then he calls for Ronnie. And Ronnie bursts through the glass windows of the hangar that the hostages are in, and he's like three stories up.
How would he get up there?
I don't know how he got up there, but he lands very gracefully and gently. No shattered bones.
Nope.
And he reunites with Vikram, and he sees how beat up he is, and he turns to fight Abu Jalal. And Abu Jalal is like, this is madness. So how about you just take Vikram and leave? Like, we'll just end this. Yeah. And Ronnie says that they won't leave alone, and he'll be taking the hostages with them. Both the Indian hostages and the Pakistani hostages.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And Abu Jalal agrees, and they all start to leave. But then he reveals he has Sia. So Ronnie stays, and I guess that the hostages are saved at this point, but then Vikram and Sia get locked up in a cage as Ronnie gets beaten up by a bunch of bad guys. And Vikram threatens to kill them all for touching his brother. And there's this really sweet music playing as Ronnie gets stabbed in the abs. And mm-hmm. Vikram
the ab stab.
the good old-fashioned ab stab. Yeah. And Vikram escapes over the top of his cage and starts fighting the bad guys. And... it's kind of funny. Okay, like, it's kind of hilarious because he just, like, literally starts murdering dudes by smashing their heads with rocks. Like, Vikram has turned into, like, the Tasmanian devil.
Cold-blooded like, he's killer, just,
he's in rage.
He really is.
Vikram then takes on Abu Jalal and ends up impaling him on some metal. So,
yep.
That's that.
You stab my brother, I impale you. It's just, you know, tit for tat.
And now that everyone's dead, Vikram very sadly points at Ronnie and says he's not moving.
No.
Vikram is useless still. Like, still, in this moment, he's just like, oh my god, he's not moving. And he and Sia cry a bit before Vikram lets Sia out of the cage. Yeah. And then she immediately pulls out the knife slash pipe that Ronnie was stabbed with. And, like, definitely should not have done that.
Don't do that, guys.
That's gonna... And then they're like, oh my god, he's bleeding so much. It's only...
They're both so stupid.
It's so funny. Sia's just like, oh my god. As Vikram is just sitting like 3 feet away, just crying.
Like, with different music, this would have been so, like, just pure comedy gold.
I mean, I was laughing hysterically, and it reminded me that we laughed hysterically the first time we watched it, too. And, like, yeah, so Sia and Vikram just, like, cry and yell together for such a long time. But Ronnie doesn't open his eyes until Abu Jalal appears behind Sia and Vikram. And Ronnie wakes up just as Abu Jalal tries to stab one or all of them. It's unclear. And Ronnie appears to punch his fist straight through Abu Jalal's chest. It's unclear, but it kind of feels Temple of Doomy.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Maybe his chest was weakened by all of the pipes that he got impaled on earlier.
Seriously, because how did he get himself off of those things?
I don't know. It just, like, being, like, having things thrust through your body just means nothing in this movie.
Doesn't matter. If you're evil or good enough, you could survive anything.
It's true, yeah.
And the final scene is Vikram getting another award for his bravery, and we see all the hostages return to their homes and families, and there's a voiceover saying that regardless of caste, religion, state, or country, we're all human beings. Mm-hmm. And then Papa appears to Ronnie, and Ronnie hugs him. And this is when I thought, wait, is Ronnie dead?
Is he in heaven?
Maybe. And that was the last I thought about that.
Didn't waste any more energy on that thought.
Yeah. And then we get our end credits song, Dus Bahane, which is just, like, so ridiculously over the top. But I did want to make a note about this dance number, because Shraddha is doing the same exact dance moves as Tiger, but while he's in sneakers, she is in stiletto heels.
Always. Ugh.
And
I hate when
they're
they
like
that.
Having to jump and twist. And stiletto heels are not stable for any of those kinds of movements.
No.
So I just always want to call attention to the women who manage to look graceful and amazing doing these moves that the men just get to wear sneakers during. And it's like, that's really hard.
Don't break their ankles. Yeah.
Yes. Or like stumble. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always very impressive.
Worth giving kudos to women for that. And also, it doesn't have to be like that. She can wear sneakers again.
Mm-hmm. Like in the wedding dance number. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's Boggy 3.
Another Boggy in the books.
Another one in the books, and decidedly the worst one. Yeah.
I just think it's so unnecessarily dark. Like,
yeah,
the second
it's not
one
done
is
well.
Dark, but the whole story is dark, so it's okay. And this, it's just like, I don't know, why did we just go so hard into the, like, suicide bombings and things? Like, that just, I just wasn't feeling it.
Did we have to deal with, like, a real, actual thing that happens in the world?
Right, exactly. That's exactly, yes.
None of it's great to see playing out in a mediocre film.
I know, I don't feel the need to think about it when this is the quality of movie that I'm watching.
Yeah.
I wanted to share with you that I think, after much consideration, that I think the first Boggy is actually my favorite.
Okay.
I think, you know, it's the like the stakes are low, yeah, which is fine, but the action is good. And I also think it did the best job of explaining why Ronnie is such a good fighter.
Yes.
Because even in the second one, like, yeah, he's in the army, but why is he, like, a crazy guy?
Yeah, we did talk about that. Like, and they were like, the jungle is his home. And we were like, what happened?
Why?
I agree with that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to come out as Boggy 1 being my favorite of the Boggies.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Boggy 2 because...
I think that's fair.
LSD, man.
Because we love LSD.
We love LSD, my one and only.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't regret watching it again.
No.
But maybe I'll remember this time why I maybe wouldn't want to watch it.
Right.
A third time.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll stick for more than a few years this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for research this week, first of all, I did want to talk a little bit more about, we discovered at the end of last week that Boggy is in fact a remake.
Yeah, we done messed up again.
we done did it again, you guys. I felt like I had gotten in the habit of new movies that we were watching of checking to see if they were a remake because it says that in IMDb, but like I just didn't, it didn't even occur to me to look at it. But yeah, so I did just want to say, you know, now we are in the know. Yes. Boggy was a remake of a 2004 Telugu film called Varsham.
Mm.
And it sounds like the plot is very similar, but without the martial arts school. Just the love story, just the conflict with the, you know, the bad guy who loves the same woman as the good guy.
I'd love to watch that sometime.
Yeah, it sounds kind of good. And the stuff with her dad is, like, more fleshed out. Like, her
dad
being kind of this,
me.
Like, yeah, like, this grifter.
Yeah.
And also her film career. So a lot of this stuff that watching Boggy 1, we're like, why is this happening? What
is... Isn't that just, like, the classic story of, like...
Yeah.
A Hindi language remake.
It's like, yeah, you just kind of like have a question and you're like, why are they doing it this way? And then you realize, oh, it's a remake and they're doing it. They're doing it worse.
Yes, because they were like, we need to make it glitzier. We need more fighting. So, but to make room for the fighting, we have to cut out all of this emotion stuff.
All the plot that makes it
make
sense.
Who needs story?
Nobody.
Oh, man.
It's real. But as has become a bit of our custom when we don't have ideas about what we want to research, I did find a Tiger Shroff quiz for you.
Yes!
Katie.
I'm so excited. I'm worried about it. I'm worried I won't know him as well as I hope I do.
I think it'll be just like the quizzes you've given me where you'll know enough to feel proud.
Okay.
So I took this quiz from, there were a couple different sources, and then I also, like, made my own questions from just looking at his Wikipedia page. And at this point, I don't remember which came from where, so...
Great, I love it.
It's fine. So there are 10 questions and one bonus question.
Ooh, okay.
And they are multiple choice.
Oh, okay, great. Okay.
So,
all
right. Here we go.
All right.
What is Tiger's birth name?
Ah! Well, I could probably guess
do
without.
Do you want to just say you can go? You can do it without the.
It's Jay. I mean, if that's not correct, I would like it to be.
You are half correct. You are 50% correct.
Oh, is his name like Javinder or something?
No. His name is Jay Hamant.
Oh.
Yes.
Were there other
but I'll
ones?
Give that to
were
you.
There other names on there that list that started with Jay?
No, you would have gotten it if I had given you the choices. So you got it, 100% for question one.
Great.
Next, in what state was Tiger born?
Mm.
Maharashtra, Punjab, Gujarat, Rajasthan.
Maharashtra.
Correct.
Yeah, he's
I
a
thought
mom
that
boy.
One might get. I thought
boy.
That would. What did you say?
I said he was a mum boy.
That's a portmanteau of Mumbai and boy. He's a mum boy.
He is though, right? Wasn't he born in Mumbai?
Yes, he was born in the state of Maharashtra. I thought that might get you because he's Gujarati, or his dad is Gujarati, so I thought maybe that, but anyway. Nope, can't fool you.
A mum boy.
He's a mum boy. That should be like a boy band, just like the mum boys. The Mumbai-based boy band, the Mum Boys.
Oh, I love it. Oh, man.
That's excellent. That's so good. Okay. All right, next. What is Tiger's sister's name? Manisha, Sara, Aisha, or Krishna?
I feel like it's Manisha.
It's Krishna.
Krishna. Ah, man. I get so, you know, it's like Tiger's always posting shirtless photos and like when he's wet, when he's working out. And I'm just like, I'm just scrolling, man.
It's a lot. It's like, what's your sister's deal? Like, I don't know.
Occasionally there's like a holiday and he's just like, oh, my sister. And I'm like, what?
You have a sister? You have more than just abs?
Who knew?
This next one is a fun one.
Okay.
To what Hindu deity is Tiger a devotee and attributes his physique to?
Interesting.
Yes. Shiva, Vishnu, Devi, or Hanuman?
Well, it's not that one.
It's not the monkey god. That's probably true.
I'm going to go with Shiva.
You got it.
He's
good
like
guess.
The jacked one, no?
I think they're all pretty jacked.
Well, okay. I have not taken a Hinduism class.
Shiva is like, he's like all into like peace and yoga and stuff too. He's got layers.
Oh.
I'm into Shiva. If I had to pick, I would pick Shiva. He seems cool. He's got dreads. He's chill.
A sensitive guy.
He is.
I like that.
This is our assessment of the Hindu gods. Don't come at us. We apologize.
I have certainly never taken any Hinduism class. I don't know.
And I have, and I still don't know, so sorry.
I guess, there's a lot of them.
Next. In what martial art is Tiger a fifth degree black belt?
Oh.
Do you want to just guess, or do you want me to give you the choices?
I want you to give me the choices, but we've also established that he knows several martial arts.
Well, yes, but there's one in which he is a fifth-degree black belt.
Yes, okay, give me my choices.
Is that karate, taekwondo, judo, or kung fu?
I'm going to say it's not judo. This is my process of elimination.
Yeah, that's great.
He does know kung fu.
I know kung fu.
I know kung fu. But he also knows taekwondo. I'm going to say taekwondo.
Good job.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
You've only gotten one wrong so far.
I did read up on all of his, like, martial art forms that one time.
You did, yeah.
And so I was like, God, I should really remember this.
This one you're also definitely going to get right. What was Tiger's debut film?
My gut is saying Hiropanti, but maybe I should wait for you to...
Would you like me to give you the choices?
Yes.
Student of the Year, Boggy, Hiropanti, Muna Michael.
Definitely Hiropanti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicely done. What was his character's name in Hiropanti?
It was Run. It was Baloo.
It was not Baloo. Sorry to say.
Okay, read it out loud.
Let's
again.
Pretend like you didn't do that and I'll give you the choices.
Bablu. It was Bablu.
It was Bablu.
Not Baloo the bear. Bablu. Okay, I was pretty close.
You were very close. You just dropped the middle consonant. That's fine.
I'm a lazy speaker. What can I say?
That's fine. We're American. Which actress did Tiger appear opposite in the music video Befikra? Kriti Sanon, Ananya Pandey, Disha Patani, or Vani Kapoor?
Can I ask, is this a music video that came from a movie?
No.
Okay. I'm going to go with Disha Patani.
Correct!
Yes!
We're up to question 9, and you've still only gotten one wrong. Okay. So.
Oh, I'm loving it.
Killing it. What was the name of the single Tiger released in 2020?
Is it Disco Dancer? I'll let you read the...
No.
Okay. I forgot that he sang some songs.
Yes.
That I listened to a lot.
Yeah. Continue. Yeah. We both did. Casanova, Casablanca, Vende Matarum, or Unbelievable?
It was, oh God, oh wait. Oh, he says it. He says it in the song. It is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah. Casanova's too on the nose. He's not going to be that.
Casanova was the name of the single he released in 2021, so let's not give him too much credit.
Okay, so I wasn't wrong to be like, Casanova, my gut says Casanova, but I'm
yeah,
like,
no.
But I feel like I remember, but it was so auto-tuned.
It wasn't great.
So auto-tuned. Like, Tiger, you're hot, but come on, man.
You don't have to do it all, friend. Okay, what is the name of the mixed martial arts team that Tiger co-owns?
Ooh!
Is it the Delhi Heroes, the Mumbai Maniacs, the Punjabi Panthers, or the Bengaluru Tigers?
I have no idea, so I'm gonna go I'm between the Punjabi Panthers or the Bengaluru Tigers. And I want to go Tigers, but here I'm thinking, like, no, that's too on the nose. He wouldn't own a team that says Tigers. I'm going to go the Punjabi Panthers.
Katie, I have bad news for you.
It's none of them, or he does own a team called the Tigers.
He does, in fact, co-own a team called the Bengaluru Tigers.
That's, like, where my gut was saying to go, and then I was like, that would be stupid.
You know what's funny is I didn't actually even, like, I didn't think about that because this was one of the ones that I took from one of the pre-established quizzes. I didn't even think about the fact that there were the Bengaluru Tigers until I read it out just now and I was like, oh, that's going to be a dead giveaway, but I guess not.
Well, I feel like I get a 0.25 for that one. I was steered wrong.
I don't think you get any points for that one. You just got it wrong.
But I was, clearly we have it on film. We have it recorded. We know that I was going to go that way.
That's true. Yes. Whatever helps you sleep at night. Well, so now, okay, you're at 80%, 80 out of 100, but we have a bonus question here. Okay. So let's see if you can get yourself to 90.
For all the marbles.
For all the noodles. Now, this one's not about Tiger.
Okay.
But related to the last question, which other Hindi film star owns a team of in the same mixed martial arts league that is called the Haryana Sultans? Hrithik Roshan, Amir Khan, Randeep Hooda, or Ayushman Khurrana?
Randeep Hooda's busy with horses, so and doing, like, photography stuff, so I feel like it's not him. Ayushman Khurrana feels like he's, like, more artsy. I mean, that is, you know, I don't know. So I'm between Amir Khan and Hrithik. I'm going to go Amir Khan.
Good guess, but the correct answer is Randeep Hooda.
What? That I should have known that was why this was a bonus question.
Yeah.
How does that man have time for all the stuff he does?
I don't know.
And why hasn't he posted more about that?
He's real busy. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if their teams have ever gone head-to-head, but I'd love to see it.
Well, I know who I'll be rooting for.
LSD versus Ronnie.
Yes, it's LSD all the way.
Well, congratulations, Katie. You did very well on this quiz.
A solid B-minus. Thank you.
A solid... Yeah. I was going to say that that's better than a B-minus, but an 80, I think, is a B-minus. So great. Great job.
Thank you. That was a lot of fun. Thanks for putting that together.
You're welcome. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Bollywood news.
I don't really have anything.
Okay. I have one thing. I was on YouTube, obviously, watching Boggy 3, and happened to see a music video pop up called Mast Malang Jum, which is one of the songs that's been released from the film with Tiger Shroff and Akshay Kumar called Bade Mian Chote Mian. I'm probably butchering that pronunciation, and I'm sorry. But anyway, I know that sometimes it's like, oh, let's try to not watch the songs until the movies happen, but I wanted to, and so I did, and it was fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, you know, reporting on that, there's a fun flute, and Akshay Kumar actually does hold his own pretty well with Tiger, which was...
That's great.
...awesome to see when Akshay Kumar has, like, a decade or two on Tiger.
Yeah.
Like, he was doing great. He looked great. It looks like they've got good chemistry together. Not the same as his chemistry with Rithik, but yeah. And so that movie is being released on April 10th, which is super soon.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that.
Fun stuff. We don't get to watch it, but
maybe someday.
Maybe someday.
Wonderful. Pluggables.
Yeah.
Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram and TikTok. Do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And also consider following us or subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can leave a rating or a review if you feel so inclined on those podcast platforms as well. And as always, thank you so much for listening and for sitting through Boggy 3.
Yeah, all the best to anyone who's done that before. I also wanted to say just thanks to everyone who sends us movie recommendations. And yes, just a reminder that we love when you do that, and we sort of accidentally end up planning really, like, we'll plan things out, but we'll leave space, but then new movies will come out that we want to watch in those spaces. Yeah. And we see your recommendations, we love them, we're excited about them, and we are going to get to them. Yes. Not everybody's every single recommendation, but, like, if you've sent us a, like, multiple movies, we will watch at least one of the movies on the list you send us eventually.
Yes. Yes. And I do think that, yeah, we have talked that we are going to hopefully start to get some of those in the lineup.
Yes.
In the next couple of months. Yeah.
Yeah. But also join us on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists. We add our favorite songs from the movies we watch to those playlists. And we link the playlists in our episode descriptions, as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
So,
speaking of movies that just came out.
Yeah. What are we watching next week, Kim?
Well, Katie and everyone else. We are watching the new Netflix movie, Murder Mubarak.
Yes. Have we watched any Sarah Ali Khan for the pod yet?
No.
We haven't. Yeah, no. Super exciting. It's been a while since I've seen her in a movie.
Yeah, she's great. We've got Dimple Kapadia, who's amazing. Yeah.
Oh my God, yes.
And of course, the incomparable Pankaj Tripathi.
Love him. I love him so much.
Love him so much.
You also just reminded me that watching Boggy 3 with the Agra gang boss, the entire time I was just like, this could have been played by Pankaj Tripathi.
It really could have been. That's such a good point. In a better movie, it would have been.
But that actor was, I think that actor did a great job with that role as well. I'm not knocking that actor. I just want Pankaj Tripathi in every piece of cinema I ever watch.
Yeah. I think he has a place in every movie.
Yes.
Like, I think he's that versatile. I also want to call out Ashim Gulati, who is one of my newest Bollywood crushes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Great.
Not from this movie, because I haven't seen it. Neither of us has seen it.
Yeah.
We waited to watch it for the pod, and here we are, and it's exciting because we don't usually get to watch stuff right after it comes out for the pod, because usually we have to wait for it to come out on streaming.
Exactly.
And yeah, now it's already here.
Yeah, this is great. I am so excited. It's got some, like, what is it, Hercule Poirot vibes? Is that how
Hercule Poirot?
Hercule Poirot?
Hercule Poirot? You thought our Hindi pronunciations were bad, you guys. We don't discriminate. We're bad at pronouncing everybody's names.
Yeah. So true.
But yeah, it's got that, yeah, the
Agatha Christie.
That vibe.
Murder mystery.
The detective at the center of all this craziness. Yeah, like Knives Out. Yeah.
Yes.
The plot description on IMDb is, during a murder investigation, a non-traditional police officer turns a spotlight on an array of suspects. He steps into their world as an outsider, only to find there is so much more than what meets the eye.
And yes, it's available on Netflix. And the Netflix synopsis is, everyone at the Royal Delhi Club has a secret, but which one led to a murder?
Murder.
Murder most foul. Pankaj Tripathi is oddball investigator Bhavani in this quirky mystery.
Oddball investigator. I love it.
And I'm just like, I feel like he was born for this role.
I agree.
I haven't even seen him in it yet, and I just know.
I know. I feel like this is, it's like the pinnacle, you know? The Pankaj pinnacle, as they say.
I love that.
We love alliteration.
Uh-huh. So yeah, I am super excited, happy to be watching it for next week. Enjoy it. I hope we all have a blast watching it. And until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
Nope.
But we need Bollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And we still need some guys fighting up other guys and throwing them into space sometimes.
And having their shirts ripped, burned, pulled torn, off in some way. Yeah.
All the time. Yep.
As long as it's consensual.
Exactly.